let's move to Philip.
Thank you. Well, I've been involved in collaborations to do with things like alternative education in different countries and policies to bring about more choice and diversity in schooling. What I'm going to do is just run through very quickly to keep within the 5 minute barrier. Just some general points from that. First of all, I'd emphasise the value of making personal connections, and Alison mentioned them, snowballing. This is very important. And discovering shared enthusiasm, key aspect. If you share that, you need the enthusiasm to develop and move forward what you're doing. The value of international collaboration, well, questioning of national and cultural assumptions, which I think has been alluded to, very important and very stimulating. It opens new ideas, new approaches, you find out about different policy approaches to problems, new practices, and also dangers and pitfalls of different kinds of policies and practice. And then also the value that it has is the testing of national claims that are made within national boundaries based on research within that country. And it enhances the possibility of some degree of empirical generalisation if you're doing something internationally, and also theoretical inferences that you might draw from your work, if not empirical generalisation. I think it's helpful to look at international collaboration in terms of three levels. First of all, there's theoretical development, which involves clarifying or questioning conceptual frameworks, definitions of concepts, interrogation of theories, or opening up to different theories that maybe are used more in a particular country. And one, for example, that I'm particularly interested in at the moment is enterprise or entrepreneurialism or entrepreneurship, and how that's understood in different countries. For example, in Scandinavia as compared with, say, the United Kingdom and America. A key barrier or problem or challenge, time has been mentioned, I think, but time to explore differences in understanding. You do need that time, and it's difficult sometimes to have that. And in an edited collection that I co-edited to do with alternative education, it was very interesting to find out what was happening in New Zealand, for example, in relation to Maori education. And there was a challenge to the very idea of alternative education from the writers who did that in New Zealand. And we could give them the space in the book to do that. But it would have been interesting to delve more into the challenging different assumptions from a Maori perspective within New Zealand, for example. The second level is what I call analytical review, where you can do literature reviews across boundaries or policy analyses, comparative policy analyses, say, across boundaries. And then the third level is the empirical work, which is where you can use both primary data that you generate and collect specifically for the project, but also secondary data could be used. And then finally, just three areas that I've been thinking about, I'm involved in, and I think it would be really good to be doing international collaborative research in, are, first of all, varieties and challenges within the dominant performative policy agenda. There was the talk that some of you will have heard yesterday evening before the dinner, setting out a critical perspective on what's happening in the United States, and it's happening in other countries as well, including Britain and other countries. But it's not necessarily uniform what's happening, and there are challenges within the system, and it would be good to look at those and compare them. Second area, which is linked to that, is democratic forms of education, development in that regard, going beyond and deepening distributed leadership. There are examples that I'm aware of, interesting to look at. It'd be really interesting to make comparisons across nations. And then finally, something that I've called plural controlled schooling, different kind of governance where different players, different sponsors are being brought into education. Academies in England are that type of school where you bring in sponsors in, and charter schools in the United States and Canada. And there, I think there's a great deal of scope, for international collaborative comparative research at a policy-wide scale, but also individually or specific case studies. For example, there is a Steiner or a Waldorf school, which has become an academy in Britain, and there is at least one charter Waldorf school in the United States, I understand, in Arizona. And it would be very interesting to make a comparison between those two. How do they fare within a system that is very different from their own internal sort of philosophy? Those
Thank
are my
you,
thoughts.
Bill.
Thanks.
And Charlie, your perspective, please.